Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. It's a joy to see each of you and to be able to worship with you once again in person. Thank you all once again for your attention to the new normal of our in-person worship, what with social distancing and face coverings and limitations of the things that we can share together. Just a few reminders before we begin our service this morning. At the end of our service, please wait for the ushers to dismiss us row by row. We do this so we can avoid getting bunched up in the center aisle and the lobby as we make our way to the front door, and so we can maintain social distancing so that we can continue meeting in person for worship each Sunday morning. Also, remember that we do record our services and put them on our website each week. We usually try to have them up posted by Sunday afternoon, although it sometimes does take several hours to go through all the formatting and conversion steps to get it uploaded. So as you visit others in our Berry family who aren't able to attend services in person, please do remind them that we're just a few clicks away on our website each Sunday. So welcome again, folks. And before Andrew comes up, Bob Knopf would like to share a few words.
Get to let that thing down. That's worse than all. Thank you for all your prayers and cards we have received in the last 3 weeks. And a special thanks to Leanne and Mike Zober for the loan of their ice machine, and Patty Tarver and Dave for the little bicycle exercise machine that I've been using, and Rita's sister for Carol for bringing up her massage table so I could get some of my most important PT done. All to help me get this far, and there's a long way to go. The same with the church here at Berry. Since 1840, we have helped our community through many problems in the world. This pandemic is no different. The need is still there. Outreach hasn't met in 4 weeks. 4 months, but the need is still there. By now, we have to start back, you know, we would have started our backpacks for school and our Undie Sunday for, you know, Clay County Clothes Closet. And we would have had probably a dinner by the end of this month for the backpacks that we send off for 10 children at Pathfinders, which we probably would have raised $500 or $600 there. And that alone is like $90 a week for kids to take food home for the weekends. So if you have a little spare money from not having to have to drive your gas, you know, use your gas to get places because you don't have to go to your work from home, you could donate more money into your tithing to help those things. And a little song I'd like to sing now is to help you remember that the kids aren't here today. And it goes like this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Come to the Lord, the living stone rejected by man as worthless. Come as living stones and let yourselves be used in building the spiritual temple. We will serve as holy priests to offer spiritual and acceptable sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. Let us sing our opening hymn number 165, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. We'll do stanzas 1, 3, and 4.
be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant us to now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we plead. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
May we bow in a moment of prayer. O Lord, we once again give you thanks for the privilege of gathering in your house in person on this Lord's Day, Sunday morning. Despite the many unknowns in our current world due to the COVID-19 virus, we are comforted in knowing that we can gather here in this sanctuary, this safe place, and find a sense of peace, knowing that we are loved in a very profound way by you, O God, and that we can find strength and wisdom and healing through the teachings and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Seated.
Good morning, everyone. Seems like our opening hymn was appropriate for this morning. Showers of blessing, right? Praise God for that. I can remember so many times out in Texas, and we'd be singing that song in church, and we'd be hoping for showers, but they never would come. But we're blessed with that rain this morning. Carrie came up just before the service was starting. She said, "Where's my umbrella?" Well, in her car, you know. Well, when I was vacuuming it out, I put the umbrella in the glove box, you know, that way I get it out of my way. Anyway, that's where it is, Carrie. Right. Right. No umbrella. Bob, it's good to see you this morning. Bless you. And it's wonderful to see you walking right on up here. And hope you're gaining good ground and feeling less pain with that replacement of a knee. To kind of follow up on what Bob was saying, I want to do mention to you that, you know, we continue to commit 10% of our resources to outreach, and we have focused that outreach funds here in the last several months in some very definitive places in light of everything that's gone on. You know, we had gifts of over $3,000 to our food pantry, and by the way, that food is almost completely gone. You know, it's almost I think there's a few bits and pieces of it left. But thankfully, we also have some more money available that we're going to be able to go and buy more groceries. What I am continuing to hear is that we have more new people coming to the food pantry that we've never ever seen before, and for obvious reasons, as you could understand. But also, we gave a significant sum to Baby Grace, organization here in the Northland that provides diapers and other needs for families with young children. They have a situation where they have a drive-up every week, but their resources had nearly gotten depleted, and the resources that our congregation gave directly to them boost that up, and they just say it was a godsend. So we praise God that we're able to do that. Northland Assistance Ministry also, we focus some resources, significant money in that direction as well, because again, they take care of helping people with utility bills and all these basic necessities that many people are having more difficulty taking care of. So we thank you for your offerings, gifts to the church, again, because we're committed to the 10%, also going out and helping people, and they made a huge impact here in the Northland. Dorinda, bless you. We are going to be missing you. We wish you the very best as Blue Oak, Missouri, or Blue Eye, Missouri, excuse me, becomes your new home. We're glad you could be here this morning, and God bless you. Dorinda had come by this past week and brought some paintings of hers, and I put them out, but Dorinda, I think most of them are probably already gone. They've already been spoken for. In spite of the rain, I don't even see a single one of them out there. But anyway, if any left, there were some paintings of Dorinda's and a couple of other art pieces from her. They are there for you all to take. And thank you, Dorinda. And we wish you the best. Bless you, Dorinda. We also want to lift up Ted Gorman as he's going to be going to North Kansas City Hospital tomorrow for surgery on the right carotid artery. We're certainly lifting you all up, Kathy, as Ted goes through that procedure tomorrow. At the same time, dealing with the concerns for his right eye and that skin cancer treatments for that as well. We also lift up Ann Jones and her mother, Wilma Simpson. Wilma is no longer in hospice care, which is a good thing. We lift up Helen Kirby Tuesday of this week. She's going to have arthroscopic surgery on her right shoulder, consequence of an injury back in November on that shoulder. That's going to be taking place at the Creekwood Surgical Center Tuesday. We also lift up Kathy Archer and Pam Roberts and Susan Hank's daughter, Candace, Ruth Ann Solomon's daughter, Rihanna Ralston. We lift up the Gorman's nephew, Jeff, and again, a number of other people we've continued to lift up, Doug Gentry and Michelle Jacobo, Alex Chester, Betty Donahue and Perla Mora, as well as Jim Owen's brother Jack and son-in-law Jack Denzel, as well as Ellen Stewart's sister Linda, Dave and Ardith Haynes' nephew Kent, and Sue Effie's brother Kenneth Gibson, and Dottie Olson's grandson Josh. So with all these people in our hearts and minds, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and loving God, we once again offer you praise for the privilege to assemble in your house. We rejoice in the Holy Spirit's presence with us. We are comforted in your fellowship with fellow believers. We are guided by your word, and ultimately we are given great hope through salvation granted by your grace in Christ's sacrifice. As the months of uncertainty prevail since the onset of this pandemic back in March, the drone of tribulations, hardships, and personal loss drums on, potentially leading to despair as many certainly mourn the loss of dear loved ones and friends while others struggle to make provision and find new purpose. Yet as we strive to offer solace and benefit through the ministries of the church and beyond, may we also find confidence in the truth that victory will come much easier if we could only discover ways to cooperate and find unity of spirit through your divine guidance. You led the Hebrews through the wilderness to the promise of a new homeland across the Jordan. Your Spirit led Christ through the agony and death of the cross to the victory of salvation for humanity. Surely then, if we can affirm the truth, as the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, that Christ is indeed the foundation upon which we should lay our hopes and aspirations, we will surely discover the depths of your great love for all humanity and resolution to the troubles that plague our city, our nation, and indeed the world. It is thus with assurance in Christ that we offer this prayer, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Without making a sound, why don't they crash when they're spinning around? Why do the ducks go south and not west? I know it's a miracle. Who tells the oceans where to stop on the sand? What keeps the water back from drowning the land? Who makes the rules? I don't understand. I know it's a miracle. It's a miracle just to know God is with me wherever I go. It's a miracle as big as can be that He can make a miracle. So far without rest. Why do the ducks go south and not west? I know it's a miracle. What makes a brown seed so tiny and dry burst into green, grow up so high, and shoot out blossoms everywhere by and by? I know it's a miracle. It's a miracle just to know God is with me wherever I go. It's a miracle as big as can be that He can make a miracle of me. A miracle of me. When a spring makes a brook and a brook makes a stream, the stream makes the river fresh as can be. Who puts the salt in when it gets to the sea? I know it's a miracle. There are thousands of people in cities I see. The world must be crowded as crowded can be.
To the Andrew sisters. otherwise known as Peggy and Gail and Lenora. As we're all very much aware by now, in order to gather here for in-person worship, we've had to make certain sacrifices in this time of our COVID-19 restrictions. So while we would normally celebrate the Lord's Supper here at the Lord's table, may we instead turn to our community reflection found at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. You are now God's temple, and God's Spirit lives in you. You are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. In union with him, you too are being built together into a place where God lives through his Spirit. May we join in our, our hymn of contemplation, number 208, I Found a Friend. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4.
Text I'd like to share with you comes from the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with the 11th verse through 17. God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. Some will use gold and silver or precious stones in building on the foundation. Others will use wood or grass or straw. And the quality of each person's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. For on that day, fire will reveal everyone's work. The fire will test it and show its real quality. If what was built on the foundation survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned up, then he will lose it. But he himself will be saved, as if he had escaped through the fire. Surely you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you. So, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you yourselves are his temple. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're privileged to once again be in your house, to pause and consider your word, and in the midst of our 316 series, to truly understand how much you desire to be connected to us, and how your Holy Spirit is indeed the guide, and Christ is the foundation It's in his name we offer this prayer. Amen. Our fifth sermon in this 3:16 series is from the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. This New Testament book is actually a letter written by the Apostle Paul to believers in the church that he founded in Corinth. Corinth was the capital of a Roman province in Achaia, and it is an area that is now Greece. The city was noted for its thriving commercial district and possessed a proud Greco-Roman culture. Yet in the midst of such prosperity, the city also was home to widespread immorality and acceptance of a wide variety of pagan religions. In this environment, it was all too easy for the Christians of Corinth to blend some of those familiar pagan beliefs with Christianity, thus corrupting the teachings of Christ. Paul strives to bring the believers back into focus of Jesus, as he writes in the 30th and 31st verses of that first chapter in 1 Corinthians, God has brought you into union with Christ Jesus, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, and again this is a text from Jeremiah chapter 9, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. Paul tells the believers that they are stuck in the world's standards as petty bickering and jealousies prevailed among them. In verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul declares, when there is jealousy among you and you quarrel with one another, doesn't this prove that you belong to this world, living by its standards? And as chapter 3 continues, Paul points out that in the midst of their petty jealousies and quarreling, divisions are being created among them, even as they argue about which evangelist they are following, as some of them claim to follow the teachings of Apollos, the Alexandrian Jewish Christian who is Paul's companion, while others are saying, no, they just follow the teachings of Paul himself. In verse 9, Paul writes that the church of Jesus Christ is God's building. And in verse 9, Paul declares that God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. Paul says that every Christian believer is called to build upon that foundation and then use one's own talents and skills to build for the glory of the church of Jesus Christ. Yet, on the day of Christ, now in other texts, like 1 Thessalonians and the book of Titus, this is the day of rapture, or what we often call the day of judgment. Here, Paul is calling it the day of Christ. This is when Christ comes in his full glory in the second coming. And what will happen is our works will be judged. And again, Paul is saying here that our works will be judged by fire, and each believer will be rewarded on the spiritual quality of one's genuine work. Thus, Paul is challenging the Corinthian believers, as he even challenges us today. The intent behind our endeavors really does count. It matters whether our endeavors are selfless or selfish, whether they are generous or stingy, whether our works are motivated by true love for others or simply motivated by the desire to make ourselves look pious and good. During my teenage years, a man in our congregation committed a significant sum of money to make a radio ministry possible for the congregation. Everyone was excited about the new ministry, and the contributor was basking in the limelight of his popularity because he certainly let it be known who gave the gift. Yet in the midst of his boastfulness, he let it slip that he had actually been saving up his pledge for several years so that he could commit to that particular project rather than it being an above and beyond sacrificial gift. Although the new ministry was in fact accomplished, his hungering for self-worth and praise tarnished his gift, to say nothing of his reputation among the others in the fellowship. According to Paul's teachings, then, what happens to his generosity? Would not his generosity be burnt up in the fire on the day of judgment, if you will? You see? Yet by God's grace, even if the integrity of our works don't stand up to God's final judgment, we do know that in verse 15, Paul writes that a person's soul is certainly saved. And after all that, we finally get to our key verse, our key 3:16 series verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, where Paul writes, "Surely you know that we are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you." At first glance, we may believe that Paul is saying that the individual believers, like you and me, are God's temple in which the Spirit dwells. And we have heard that expression before. It's lifted up in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a little later on in this same book, where verses 19 and 20, Paul tells the believers that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But in this chapter, chapter 3, and as we have looked at the beginning portion of this letter, what we must understand is that Paul is very specific about the fact that all believers of the church is whom he is talking about. And all believers united together are God's temple. When we pause and consider that all of us collectively are God's temple, the thought should humble us. It should prompt us to set aside our selfish ambitions. It should challenge us to explore how we can cooperatively accomplish good works for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth. And you know, in the midst of the pandemic, we're seeing that, are we not? As needs are being met, but they're being met because of the good of the collective, the people gathering their resources and focusing it in ways that can certainly meet people's needs. Yet even as our city, our society, and our nation struggle with how best to work out policies and procedures to stop a silent and unseen virus in its tracks, at every turn we continue to see the rights and interests of the individual at odds with the rights and interests of the collective through so many events and circumstances. After World War II, the people of Coventry, England, planned to have the charred remains of the old Cathedral Church of St. Michael leveled and a new one constructed on the site. Amid the rush to rid the city of its scars, however, several pastors and parishioners paused for weeks of prayer to consider God's guidance. Afterward, a new plan was devised that kept intact the remains of the old cathedral, and it formed a memorial, and a new cathedral was built adjacent to it. Over time, the place has become a shrine for the reconciliation of many English and German people alike. You see, it was through prayer that the Christian believers of Coventry discovered that as a whole, they were indeed God's temple, and that God's Spirit could dwell within them and inspire them to come up with an avenue that offers healing. Immediately after our 3:16 verse for this morning's message, Paul writes a rather harsh warning in the 17th verse as he declares, "So, if anyone destroys God's temple," meaning if anyone intentionally destroys the work of the Church of Jesus Christ through malicious, jealous, deceitful behavior against other Christian believers, he goes on to write, "God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you yourselves are his temple." You know, such words should give us pause and help us contemplate how it is that we are going about our work in the Lord's service. Yet again, we've already discovered from earlier verses in this text that Paul's not talking about the destruction of one soul. Our soul is saved in Christ through God's grace. But surely Paul is challenging each of us to certainly review the motivations behind every endeavor we embark upon for the benefit of the church and others. Paul goes on to tell us in the closing verses of this third chapter that boastfulness is folly, that true wisdom comes from Christ, and that we ultimately belong to Christ. So you see, now we have 5:3-16 verses, don't we, to contemplate and, if you dare do so, memorize. We know the first one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but, what? Have everlasting life. Then 1 John 3:16, I think, is a cherished verse. That's why I had it as the second message, even though it's much, much later in the New Testament. 1 John 3:16, well worth remembering. This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us. We ought to give our lives for others. And again, he's not talking literally about just giving up our lives. It means in service. Then we had Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Heaven opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting on him. And then last week, Acts 3:16, Paul declared, again, as the lame man was healed and everybody was looking at him, wondering what was going on, Paul says, Simon Peter, it was the power of his name that gave strength to this layman. What you see and know was done by faith in his name. It was faith in Jesus that has made him well, as you can well see. And now today, 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Apostle Paul writes, surely you know that we are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you. Another easy verse to remember, isn't it? So, there are three themes that seem to prevail through these texts that I've been lifting up to you. First of all, that God genuinely desires to have a living relationship with you and all humanity. Secondly, God willingly pays the price to create that relationship through the sacrifice of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And third, what we really understand also is that the Holy Spirit is present to help us experience that meaningful relationship with God. In your bulletin flyer, number 140 is our hymn of invitation, the church's one foundation, an appropriate song for this morning. But what you need to know is that as it was written in the 1860s, it was Samuel John Stone's challenge to believers in the Church of South Africa. He was calling them back to Christ as their one and only true foundation, as many were being led astray by John Colenso, the first bishop of Natal, who was claiming that much of the Bible was in fact fiction. We are all reminded to be united in Christ rather than splintered by arguments that divide us. With all eyes on Jesus, we truly celebrate that he is the one and only foundation, and we become God's temple where the Holy Spirit can dwell if we keep our focus on who? Jesus the Christ. May we stand. Number 140, the church's one foundation.
is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His only bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Yet she on earth hath union with God the Three. Mystics, we communion with those whose rest is wine. All happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, on high may dwell.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you the very best as you journey on this new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we pray that your Spirit guide us as we step forward with the task of the new week. May we always be mindful that we are indeed your temple here on earth through our part of being in the church of Jesus Christ. As your Holy Spirit guides us, may the works that we accomplish for your purposes always be for your glory. It's in the name of Christ we do give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Save above a ransom the soul.